All right, we are on Welcome to Elevate Today podcast. Go ahead and introduce yourself. I'm with a family friend. We've been pretty much family since our families met. It's like we're family.
Mm-hmm.
And your son is my godbrother.
Mm-hmm. So my name is Donnie Juan. I am in the Army.
You're in the Army, good. Sorry.
I'm in the Army 11 years. I'm a father. I am currently in town for a funeral. I don't live in California anymore. Born in the Philippines, grew up in San Jose, joined the Army. I met Hannah and her family when I was a recruiter in Gilroy/Morgan Hill from 2018 to 2022. I'm currently stationed in Fort Hood, Texas, and I'm getting ready to deploy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Poland.
What?
Yeah.
Didn't you just get to Texas?
Yes.
Was that part of the plan?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's lovely. Have you been in Texas for like a year or something?
I've been back in Fort Hood since May 2022.
Whoa.
So less than a year, yeah.
And we met 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
We met 2019. My first year in recruiting in Gilroy.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
July 4th was actually March through Mardi Gras Festival, right? That's where I met Pastor Vlad and Vibe Morgan Hill.
Okay.
And we started having midweeks here after that. Yeah.
Okay. Dang. That was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Time flies.
Yep.
Okay. So let's talk about the recruiting lifestyle. Like
recruiting. Okay.
Yeah. It seems like you really like it, and it from what I've seen, you've mm-hmm. impacted a lot of young people's lives, and you've seen transformation
mm-hmm.
from like the before and after they get recruited.
So I actually hated recruiting. But I guess how I portrayed it, it's kind of like a passion thing. When you're at this point in the military, you have come to either really love it or you love to hate it. So I'm very passionate about what I do, and I'm very passionate about helping and providing that opportunity for people. So recruiting is a 3-year gig for anybody in the military that's trying to make it in a career. So I did it for 3 years, and when I was doing it, hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I talked to my recruiter, I told him I don't want to be on a desk. And he said, okay, you want to be in combat? I was like, I don't mind being a combat guy. And my mom begged me not to take infantry,
mm-hmm.
so I picked tanks. So my job that I signed up for in the Army is to be on tanks. But in order to make it through the ranks, I had to be a recruiter. So I ended up in the desk. And I was very passionate about helping others and giving them the same life that I experienced. Because there's a reason I stayed more than the minimal 3 years, which was my contract. My first contract was 3 years. I re-enlisted for a second contract. And I think in my 6th or 7th year, I became a recruiter. But I hated the desk life. Hated the recruiting, but I loved recruiting people and them, you know, reaching back to me and saying, hey, Sergeant Juan, you know, thank you so much for, you know, being an awesome recruiter, being straight up and real with me. All my friends in basic training, they said their recruiters were scumbags, lied to them, but you were straight up. You told me what to expect. You didn't, you know, bullshit me. And now this is my life. And just watching them from this, and even like one of the soldiers I still talk to, I met him as a freshman, and now he's a man.
If you were a freshman in high school?
No, he was a freshman. I recruited him.
Oh.
He went to GECA in Gilroy,
mm-hmm.
and he was a freshman. It was my very first classroom presentation, and he DM'd me later that day, and he said, you know, Sergeant Juan, your presentation really inspired me. I want to follow in your footsteps.
Dang.
And he kept that from freshman year, and when he turned into when he started senior year, he joined the Army.
Wow.
And now he's a straight-up soldier.
Is he in the area?
No, he's in Fort Lewis, Washington. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But, like, that's the relationship I've built with them. Because some recruiters, they'll just recruit you, and you'll never hear from them ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But I leave that door open, even though I'm not a recruiter anymore. Like, these soldiers still come up to me for guidance. Like, hey, Sergeant Juan, I need advice on this, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of relationship I wanted to build. Mm-hmm. Even though I hated the job. You know, I love that I'm back on the tanks, but when you met me as a recruiter, I was doing a job, and that was the only fulfilling part of it,
mm-hmm.
was helping people follow the same opportunity that I got when I was their age.
Yeah, I think that's all I really saw, because I didn't really know it was a desk job.
Yeah, it is.
I just know I'd see you working out with all the people that you recruited. So it just looked like, you know, you were doing life with them. You're inspiring them, showing them a different way to live. And it looks really cool. Like, you're in a way like transforming them, like a mentor in their life, because anyone around that age, well, I'd say, I guess if it starts at high school, like 15, 14 to 17, 18, you're just like confused. Like, you're supposed to figure out what to do with the rest of your life.
So that's something very, that was one of the main approach points that I had going in, was I knew that this new generation, the Gen Z, I could connect with them because I remember what it was like to be that age and how much anxiety and stress it could be when you're 17/18 and everybody seems like they got it figured out. I was speaking to my cousins about this yesterday. I asked them, like, hey, did you know you apply for college? And, you know, the current culture is once you get accepted into college, you change your Instagram bio. So it's like,
that's so true.
So it's like 2023. So starting this month and next few months, you're going to start seeing UCI 2027.
Yep.
Right? Because that's when they're supposed to graduate.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because what's funny about that is Americans don't graduate within 4 years on average.
Really?
Yeah, the average is 5 years. But they sell it as a four-year degree. That's what they sell it as.
Mm-hmm. That's funny you say that, because it's kind of like their identity, what they want to be remembered by. Like, I am at college and I'm graduating around this time. This is who I am. But it's really just like a buffer, 4 seasons or 4 years of 4 to 5 years of, like, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do after? And it's really stressful trying to figure out your identity and your career in like the 4 years of high school.
So I think that's where, I think we're as a society, we can do better in providing more choices, because the more choices that you have, the better. Whereas if you have not a lot of choices, there's that anxiety. And when I was growing up, it felt like I was being funneled into nursing. You know, because I'm Filipino, and growing up, it would be like, oh, Anak, you have to be a nurse, you know. Every Filipino can relate, whether you're a guy or a girl, your mom wants you to be a nurse. You could be an astronaut, you could be, you know, special forces in the army or a doctor, and they'll still be like, oh, but you know, you could have been a nurse.
Yeah, I heard of that.
We had a joke that Miss USA, that just won Miss Universe, or Miss USA, she's part Filipina. And we joked that, oh, I bet her mom still wishes she was a nurse. Yeah. But it felt like when I was 16, 17, I was an AVID. So you know what AVID is?
No.
So AVID is a program. It's basically, it was originally for first generation college students. So like students whose parents did not go to college. So they don't have any means to know how to apply for college, FAFSA, financial aid. This is it's a program in high school that you're in. It's an elective, and then all of your main teachers are AVID teachers. So you have AVID as an elective, and your English teacher is an AVID teacher, your math teacher is an AVID teacher.
Is this a high school or a
college? Yeah, this is in high school. Oh. Yeah, Anserbato has an AVID program.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was an AVID. So growing up, it was like, well, you know, my brother went to San Jose State University for nursing. My older brother went to San Jose State University, started off at nursing. So I was being funneled into this is the only way, or the pinnacle of what you can do after high school, right? And then society, of course, status is everything. So it's like, oh, well, my son went to UCLA. Oh, my cousin went to, you know, UC Santa, whatever it is. I don't really know the UCs. But that's also not just a status for you, but it's a status for your family. And then, of course, when it comes to like De Anza and community college, they rate it lower.
Yeah.
When I spoke to my cousins who went to the UCs, I asked them, hey, you know, since you've graduated from UC, the UC program, in your career field, you have somebody who has a degree from this UC, 4-year degree in this career field. And you have this person who went to a community college and then transferred to that UC, and they have the same degree. is there a difference in the value of that person in your career field? And they say absolutely no difference.
One saved more money.
One saved more money.
Yeah.
But like growing up, people talk down on DeAnza or what's the one here? Gavilan College, mm-hmm. right? It's, for some reason, it's lower. Mm-hmm. It's less value.
Yeah.
So I feel like growing up, I was being funneled into this, has to be college. And if you can, make it to the top university.
Did you go to any college?
No. I mean, I've taken colleges online just because I felt like it, but mm-hmm. it never felt like I needed to. I never felt a pressure to.
Mm. So you went straight to the military?
Straight. So I enlisted April of my senior year.
Who recruited you?
Staff Sergeant Casey Brooks.
And what caught your attention about that recruiter?
So in junior year, I ran into the Marine recruiter. And he's like, hey, you look like a decent built kid. Come to my office. So the recruiting office was literally a walk down Independence High School. And I talked to him. And looking back at it, it's kind of funny because I have a lot of friends who are Army recruiters and Marine recruiters. And we like to talk shit. But I think what it was is just me personally, I didn't vibe with the Marine recruiter as well as I vibed with Staff Sergeant Brooks. Because the Marine recruiter, he came off and he just came off like he was trying too hard. Mm-hmm. Like he's just trying to sell this tough guy shit. Mm-hmm. And for some kids, they need the Marines. The Marine Corps is perfect for them, right? The toughest branch and the title and all that. There are kids who are perfect for that route. But mm-hmm. for me, it wasn't. The guy came off, he was just trying too hard to be tough and he didn't vibe with me.
Yeah.
And so I was actually in my senior year, I decided that I didn't want to pay for college. I didn't want my mom or my family to help support me through college. I wasn't taking my academics seriously. I didn't see a need for it. I decided I'd either do Army or Air Force. And I was actually in the musical in high school and we were doing a performance. Mm-hmm. And the Army recruiters were there. And right after the performance, I walked up to one of the recruiters, scheduled an interview, walked down to the recruiting station, and there was just chill. Staff Sergeant Brooks was like, hey, what's up, bro? Oh, your name is Don Juan? That's pretty cool, man. Your name is Don Juan. Yeah, you know, I'm a Cav Scout. Yeah, so what you want to know about the Army, man? It wasn't like he was trying to sell anything.
Yeah.
You know, and then his fellow recruiter, Staff Sergeant Quinto, was Special Forces, Green Beret. You know, like, Special Forces guy. And he was chill, too. He was like, hey, what's up, Donnie Juan? Yeah, you want to work out with us? Yeah, we're going to go around stadiums.
Dang.
And then, like, I went around stadiums.
So you felt like you belonged somewhere?
It was just chill. I like how chill they were. They were personable. They had personalities. They didn't seem like they were just trying so hard.
Yeah.
To sell me something. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that's why I vibed with them more mm-hmm. than the Marines.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seems like a more safe environment than like a college where there's just no direction.
Yeah.
You have, and then if you pick a college, you can go in like undecided. Mm-hmm. But that's like just a whole different journey than these are going to be your people. Here are your four options, your different branches. Mm-hmm. But to me, I have no idea what goes down in the military. Mm-hmm. Like you say, you work tanks.
Tanks, yes.
No idea. I just can imagine like a picture in my head. Or like with recruiting, I can imagine you like, working yeah. out with kids.
Have you ever watched Fury with Brad Pitt?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. That's literally my job.
See, just but like it throws me off when there's wars because I just can't imagine what that's like these days.
When we're not in war, we're in the States, we're training for war.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And we have never, the Army hasn't engaged in tank warfare in the past few decades yet. So the mission set in Poland isn't an act like, Afghanistan and Iraq was an active war. Mm-hmm. Europe is not an active war. We're not actively in a war with any country in Europe. Mm-hmm. But we are there in case there should be a need for American tanks. Just like when I was deployed to Korea, I wasn't actively fighting the North Koreans. We were positioned in South Korea in case the North Koreans ever invaded.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's like, like I told you before, I'm familiar with military a little mm-hmm. bit more now, but they're so content with the life that they've lived being within the military. Mm-hmm. Like some have plans to retire from what I've heard, but it's like from my observation, it's gotten them so far. They've like got to travel. Mm-hmm. They see the world so much smaller than the rest of us. They're just like, yeah, I'm going to go to a different country every year. Like the perspective blows mm-hmm. my mind. And they, for whatever reason, are cleaner, financially set up, like mm-hmm. all have cars, all can pay their bills in like a well-disciplined time, and they all like have this like good work mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because no matter what branch you are, you have these like checks that you know, check off, and it's mm-hmm. pretty impressive things that the average civilian doesn't have.
That's a good way. I guess that's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like, I'm just a girl. I have no idea what goes on in the military world. Mm-hmm. All I know is different groups of people. Mm-hmm. Majority have like, they don't have cleanliness. They don't have financial organization.
What do you mean by cleanliness?
Oh my gosh. I've never met a military guy that's not super clean.
I know. Are you saying civilians are the opposite of like hygiene wise?
Mm-hmm. Like civilians, like anyone, I don't want to say civilians because obviously there's clean people out there, but military people are mm-hmm. particularly super clean. Obviously from the movies, you guys been living super strict, so you have to be that way.
Yeah.
But like clean cars, clean rooms, like clean with mm-hmm. their hygiene and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing because like that's how every man should be
mm-hmm.
unless, you know, they're training or just having their downtime. But just that put together adult
mm-hmm.
energy, military people have it, and I respect that a lot.
Yeah. So when you're like a younger soldier, you don't really see the bigger picture, but there's a method to every madness. That's what drill sergeants will say. There's a method of why we're doing this madness. It comes off at madness at first,
mm-hmm.
but when you get a little bit older, there is a method to it. Like basic hygiene, hopefully you're brushing your teeth every morning, but at the very least you're shaving your face every morning, right? That's just uniform cleanliness, professionalism. In terms of the hygiene, there's a reason we have to be hygienic. Is because we can sleep in such small quarters and you're next to somebody, right? If you're not hygienic, something like brushing your teeth every day, not only are you going to get sick, but because you sleep with somebody to your left and right, now you're going to get this person sick and this person sick.
So it's like a rule for you guys?
And it becomes this chain effect, yeah.
Wow.
Hygiene is literally part of the mission because just that simple, you look at it very small, it's just brushing your teeth, it's just changing your socks, changing your underwear, right? If you don't do that, you're going to get the person to your left and right sick, and now the mission is affected minus 3 personnel, and the mission needs 10 soldiers. Now we went from 10 to 7 because you didn't want to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
So imagine if there's life and death involved. That's why it's when it's serious, it's really serious. But when it's not that serious, when we're not deployed, it can seem a little like just OCD and anal, but
that's what it seems like.
But you know, in basic training, you don't really want to question. You're taught not to question anything because you're joining the military, right? You're there to follow orders. That's the life you signed up for. It's just there's something about it when you wake up in the morning and you open your closet and everything is just dress. Right? It's uniform. Your socks are rolled a certain way. Your underwear is rolled a certain way. Your t-shirt is rolled a certain way, right? When you wake up in the morning and you just look at that, there's something about that. There's something about making your bed in the morning. You're accomplishing something in the first 5 minutes of the day. And then, you know, some people just take it to an extreme. They're just OCD and everything in their life. I like a clean house, but we'll talk about that later when you introduce kids.
Mm-hmm.
And like how there's what you want and then there's what the kid wants, right? But for the most part, we are military folks. We do have, I guess that's one of the topics that we wanted to talk about, right? Your military guys and how they come off.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought that up. So I want to hear why you brought that up.
I've not talked about this yet on a podcast. So yeah, since I've been single, just military people have been more fascinating to me for the basic reasons of like they work out, they are clean, they are respectful, they have mm-hmm. better values, they have a more like, I just more respectful nature about them, even just whether it's to their country, to having like chivalry, to
mm-hmm.
opening the door. Like I'm anti all the like, you know, let the girl do that. It's mm-hmm. like, no, let the man be the man. Like, let him do what he has to do. And that's just straight up like a cop kind of guy, a military mm-hmm. kind of guy, a like firefighter. That's just how they're trained.
Mm-hmm.
But if I would find fascination with like a military guy, when I talk to girls about it, they're just like, oh, be careful, stay away from them. And yeah. I'm like, he pays for my meal. He will open the door for me. He's a gentleman. He's respectful. He has family morals. He believes in God, like those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So like, it's interesting to me because I have observed things like they're great people. Mm-hmm. They have a very unique sense of humor, like guy's sense of humor. Like this is what dark happens. Humor. Yeah. When you put a bunch of guys together and they get bored, they get or like in crazy times together or see a lot of like terrible things, face a lot of trauma, they're humored. They just become unified in that. And I've seen I've caught on to things I think is really funny. And then the other thing was cheating. So I brought this up to someone and I was just like, so military guys, they're known for cheating. So I've heard, I guess because my theory from what I've observed and heard is like when you guys are out doing your boot camp training, they'll be like, you know, your wife is probably fucking your best friend right now. Like
it's getting called Jody.
What?
You call it Jody.
Oh.
Jody is the guy or girl that your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend is sleeping with when you're gone.
Okay. Not a theory. This is a fact. There's already a name for that. Yeah. Like there's that.
But the soldier themselves could be the Jody as well. There are soldiers sleeping with other soldiers' wives or husbands, and there are soldiers who are cheating on their civilian wives and husbands. So it's not just one or the other. It's 50-50.
You think it's abnormally more than other people? So or do you think people just cheat, period?
When I was, where could I start with this? When I was younger, right? When I was brown-eyed, bushy-tailed, young, and just not knowing a lot. It was a hopeless romantic, right? And then I was dating this girl. I was 18. Went off to boot camp to serve my country, thinking this girl's going to last forever. And then a week before coming home from boot camp, I get a Dear John letter. Because you know it's like, dearest Donnie, love of my life, right? And then you get this one letter. It goes from 3 pages to 1 paragraph. And then you're like, oh, shit. And it's like, dear Donnie, right? And then you get a little older in the military. And we could talk about my single life in a bit. But my friends who were married, right, experiencing them getting cheated on. It used to be, when I was younger, like, how can you do this to this guy or girl? You know, they're out here fighting for their country, giving their lives, and you're at home betraying them. Like, how could you do that? And then now as I'm older, it's more of like, I'm not justifying that they're cheating, but it is a lot to ask a significant other. Mm-hmm. Now marriage, let's just say it's a boyfriend or girlfriend. If a guy or girl wishes to enlist into the military and you're leaving behind a significant other, yes, it would suck if you got cheated on. But you gotta understand what you're putting that significant other through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're asking them to stay here in this little small town and wait for you. So I can understand now as I'm older why young relationships don't make it through the military test. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more understanding of that as compared to when I was younger. It used to just make me more like, oh my God, how could she do this? How could that girlfriend do that to my friend? Mm-hmm. You know,
you think it's usually the person at home that cheats?
I think it's 50-50.
Okay. Yeah, because military people, they can go to a new state, a new country, and then hit the club and just like,
I think it's
50-50. No one would know.
I don't think it's just the soldiers or the Marines or the sailors or the military guy or girl cheating. I think it, or the getting cheated on, I think it's 50-50.
So do you think it's a military thing? So it is a true theory? Or is it just like guys, because someone just said guys do that.
I think it's amplified in the military because there is a military culture of it might not just be a military, it might be a societal theory that or value that the guy who gets the most girls is higher value. And that's kind of like that fuck boy culture is kind of fostered in the military.
Yeah, that really irritates me.
It irritates you? How so?
Because I get it. You can't fight a principle that says a guy that gets more girls, especially when it's normalized in the military, is a high value guy. Because I get it. Everyone wants the one that everyone wants. Mm-hmm. But like, let's say you like someone, you think that they're super cool, but they just have this fuckboy mentality where mm-hmm. like, you know, their whole feed is just a bunch of big booty hoes. Mm-hmm. And they just like are about that life, about mm-hmm. like just the physique, about just the looks of girls. And they just come off as so single when, mm-hmm. when in my eyes, in any female that I would want the best for them, I'd be like, military people are great guys. Mm-hmm. But I don't say that because they have that fuckboy mentality. Like, you'd be a full package if you didn't have that fuckboy mentality.
So you said you've dated military guys recently. Plural. Right? Yeah. So it's interesting to me because I don't know very many military guys here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So are they like in the reserve? Are they out of the military?
Reserve, farther away, and out of the military.
Like, there are no major installations in this area. Mm-mm. The nearest one I know of is Mountain View and Lemoore, California, which is like 2.5 hours away.
Yeah, there's some farther than that.
Farther than that, okay, so I guess I've been out in the dating scene since 2017-18. Mm-hmm. So dating to me is like super foreign because I only know dating from 2018. No,
dating to me is super foreign too. It just kind of happened.
So explain it to me more, paint a clearer picture. When you say dating guys here in Morgan Hill, you were on Tinder?
Absolutely not, never. Okay. Absolutely not, never, ever. I mean, it has happened before, but never, ever again. But no, I don't really like think that the online thing would ever work for me, but, I met someone when I was out of town.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's out of town.
Out of town.
Okay.
But close enough to drive within California. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was just very organic, very natural. And then I found out they're in the military. Mm-hmm. This happened more than once.
So you met them, they were in civilian clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't gotten a radar yet for, oh, that guy's in the military.
Well, okay, I could probably pick it up now if I actually really, like, thought about it, but it was, like I did not see that coming.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So, of the military guys you've dated, how many gave you that sense, like, oh, they're a fuckboy?
Majority?
So, all of them?
Uh-huh.
Near all of them? But when you speak about them, you were more so on the other side of the spectrum of your friends, you're like, oh, be careful.
I'll say 1 out of 3.
1 out of 3? Okay.
Well, see, the thing is, it's like 3 out of 3 don't act like fuckboys. Mm-hmm. It's 1 out of 3 didn't portray fuckboy tendencies at all. 2 out of 3 did not portray fuckboy tendencies at all, but social media displayed otherwise. Mm-hmm. Because of their following was just all these hoes.
They were following?
And mutual.
Okay. What to you shows that they're following a hoe?
Well, I think, or it's hoes, like,
plural,
you know, these days it's really hard to identify, and like, you know, that's a insensitive word, but more so like, I get it if you're into like the gym world where mm-hmm. you naturally want to show off your muscles, you want to show mm-hmm. off your progress, your gains, but if every picture is like you're laying on your belly like looking back and it's like clearly sexual mm-hmm. in a bikini and lingerie, I would mm-hmm. say that that's not a classy girl. Mm-hmm. That's not a girl of purpose, or someone that like you could be a friend with mm-hmm. or someone like, oh yeah, we hit it off, so we connected. It's like not a classy girl.
So it's funny you bring that up, because you were talking about on your story the slut shaming, right? You had that response to your story. Somebody DM'd you
mm-hmm.
about like letting people just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm in an interesting point because I've lived both lives.
Yes.
And I guess I could just start off after the breakup, the Dear John letter, I went off into the military. That's when I truly started my career, because she broke up with me while I was in boot camp. And then when I got to Fort Hood, Texas, this is before marriage. My life was in two stages. 70% of the time, I was not in a serious relationship. 30% of the time, I was in a serious, and I invested everything into that.
This relationship.
Was with the ex. No, this is after the ex.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, I had my fuckboy phase,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd be in a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, and then we'd break up, and then I'd go back to my fuckboy phase, And then I'd meet a girl, and then I'd drop all the hoes for that one girl. And then I invested everything in that girl, and then it didn't work out. And then I go back and rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. Define fuckboy phase. What does that entail?
I slept with whoever I wanted to and however many I wanted to.
Okay.
That's just being so truthful with you.
Respectfully, there's no like too many girls to sleep with.
So there's how I see that part of my life when I was 30. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm 30. And there's how I saw it when I was 19, when that phase started.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want first?
19.
So 19 years old, to me, it was like, if I was not in a serious relationship, anyone and everyone is fair game, so long as I can try to be as honest as I can be, and no one's getting hurt.
How do you know no one's getting hurt?
So as I got older, I learned to do better. Because when I was a lot younger, I was more likely to hide the other girls. If that makes sense. Or if a girl were to ask me, am I the only girl you're seeing? I would not give them the full truth.
Do you think military people have a tendency to lie? Because they have a very, like, they can hide their life a little bit better.
In 2012, I think there was already that the perspective that military guys were either married and they were loyal, they're married and they're not loyal, or they're not married and they're just complete fuckboys. Those were like the three categories you fell into. Married and you were deeply loyal, those guys, you never really saw them. They came to work and they went home to their wife and kids. And then there's the married guys you know were married, but they were hanging out with the single guys. And then the single guys who lived in the barracks, right? The barracks in itself was a culture. And for whatever reason, girls had that perspective of us, but they still hung out with us.
Hmm.
So it's a very interesting dynamic.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I feel like... the military guys that don't cheat probably have a faith that keeps them not to. I mean, anyone mm-hmm. can cheat, but I just at least notice like the ones that have stronger marriages, and I don't know if they cheat or not, but if they're still together, then I'd assume they're not cheating, which is dumb of me, but they have a faith, like you and Bo and my uncle who's a chaplain and my auntie, and that's all I could think of.
They don't have to be faithful. They don't have to have faith to be faithful. I've met numerous soldiers. I think it's just they wanted the simple lives. They were completely satisfied with just getting married,
yeah,
having kids, and it's that simple.
Okay, I actually have this opinion I've been playing with, but basically when you're single, you are creating habits and you are a mm-hmm. product of your habits. So therefore, like, if you do want a simple life, you should start living a simple life now mm-hmm. because you're going to have to break a whole habit cycle. Like, let's say you're a fuckboy. Mm-hmm. You, like, know you want to get married and settle down one day, but you're not there yet and mm-hmm. you haven't met any great gals yet. So you're just, like, sleeping with whoever you want. Mm-hmm. You go to a club and you find a girl. You take her home. You guys sleep together. You go, same thing, repeat all the time. And mm-hmm. then you do meet someone. And she's a 10 out of 10 and you mm-hmm. want to settle down for her, but your body has these habits. You mm-hmm. are a product of your habits. So you're going to like want to give her your everything, but you have 15 girls on the side that kind of mm-hmm. like you can text whenever you want to see if they want a one night stand type deal. Mm-hmm. But as you have this prize, this 10 out of 10, mm-hmm. you just like you didn't know you had to cut them off. You didn't know how to cut them off. You didn't know how to like train your body, your mind, your soul to be prepared to be with one person.
So 100% you're correct. The problem with not just fuckboy, but sleeping around culture, right? The problem with that mindset is that you don't know it's a problem until you're too far deep into the problem.
How do you know when you're too far deep?
You're too far deep when you're ruining your life.
STDs kind of thing?
STDs, financial, your marriage, everything is just falling apart mm-hmm. because it's just the same as how alcohol can destroy a life. how drugs can destroy a life, how gambling can destroy a life, right? These are the popular addictions that we heard about growing up, right? Oh, don't do drugs, they're bad. Mm-hmm. Don't be an alcoholic, that's bad. Don't be a gambler, that's bad. But seldom did you ever hear, don't be a sex addict, that's bad.
It is an addictive thing.
Yeah, so the problem with the sleep around culture, right? Because there's many ways to look at it. Because mm-hmm. there is such thing as slut shaming, right? Women, and this is no place for me to talk about, but let's talk about like dress code. In my opinion, at the age of 30, and it could change when I'm older and I have a daughter someday, right? Growing up, it was a girl shouldn't dress this way because it will instill, it'll distract the boys. So let's talk about high school, right? High school girls shouldn't dress this way because it'll distract the boys. They're, or like, oh, you got sexually assaulted because you dress a certain way. I think of it like, maybe boys just shouldn't rape people. It's literally that simple. Mm-hmm. What if it's just 90 degrees or 100 degrees and people should dress comfortably? Mm-hmm. If it was 100 degrees and boys dress comfortably in 100 degrees, no one would say anything, right? But if a girl dressed comfortably in 100 degrees, now it's, oh, she's a slut, right? And the defense is, oh, she shouldn't dress that way because guys will look at her. Well, what if guys weren't just rapists? Mm-hmm. What if guys just didn't sexually harass women? Like, it's that easy. It's literally, it takes no effort to not rape someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There is such a thing as slut shaming. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about the dangers of sleep around culture. Because the dangers of sleep around culture that you don't think about is sexual addiction. And I know that's a major topic in your podcast. I think the culture is that porn is okay. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a normal part of life. Sleeping around is okay. It's a normal part of life. When I was in my young 20s, it was a normal part of my life. But like I said, you don't know it's a problem until you're deep in the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did not want it to be something that came up on my podcast like this as often as it I've mm-hmm. noticed it's been happening. But it's like, at the end of the day, the most fulfilling thing is to have a family. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that could like keep you from that is your inability to be with one person, because mm-hmm. no women will want to be with you, and no woman can be with another man if like they're addicted to being with multiple people and sleeping mm-hmm. around. And, you know, going back to what you said, like, I do hear what you're saying, because that's like the narrative that every, you know, female, it has nothing to do with me. How dare he look at me? How dare he do this? But I'm a girl. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to be in my head, and I know what it's like to get ready with girls. I know what it's like to get dressed to go to the club. We're trying to get the guy's attention, mm-hmm. like straight up. I know exactly how they think. So when mm-hmm. I hear like, he shouldn't look at me like that, how dare he? It's like, well, you can look at me like that if you're cute. But if you're not cute, you're a creep. You're a bad guy.
So I think there's a balance to everything. I think there are levels to everything. So there's far sides, right? There's extreme left, extreme right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're extreme left and your nipples are just exposed, right? And your thighs and your booty cheeks are hanging out, and it's a little extreme, I would say I'm not going to be like defending the guy who puts hands on her, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, sexual assault is sexual assault.
Yeah.
But it's more like, don't be surprised if the guy is looking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, looking in sexual assault is kind of different, because obviously, like, go to hell if you're going to be terrible like that. Because
it's more so far extreme if it's more like a lack of management of expectations if you're dressing that way and you didn't expect the attention.
Yeah.
And especially what you're saying, that, and you're confirming it, that girls are doing it for attention. You know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. levels to it. Now, maybe there is a lesser extreme of it where a girl is wearing something less exposed but still exposed, and she doesn't want attention, right? Mm-hmm. She just wants to wear something comfortable, something sexy. She wants to feel sexy. And there are guys being creeps. Mm-hmm. That is also still a legitimate thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very true. Like, a creep's going to be a creep no matter what. Mm-hmm. But I also think that you can dress a certain way and the classiest guy's going to be like, whoa, because it's so out there. Mm-hmm. And, like, clothing is getting so much more sexualized, I've noticed. Like, I recently discovered that wearing a corset is like a shirt now. Like, you can do it. Like, go to the club and wear a corset. The same thing that, from my observation, prostitutes wore back then. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy because times are changing where, mm-hmm. like, well, we'll normalize that. You can wear a bra as a shirt. You can wear a corset as a shirt. Like, shorts that, like, show everything. And it's just, like, whatever. And, like, so it's, like, whatever. Cool, do your thing. But, like, let's not be naive with the fact that this is very sexual clothing. So, mm-hmm. like, you should know how to defend yourself. You should know what you're getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. And know that a guy is not a bad guy for checking you out when you look like that. Because, mm-hmm. like, the woman is the prize. The woman is, like, the fruit, the apple of an eye. Mm-hmm. And like, that's why I think I've developed a respect towards modesty. Mm-hmm. Because I just realize it causes someone to look at more than what's physical. It causes the person to look at her eyes, her personality, the glow in her face, like, absolutely. Stuff like that. But it's hard because as a female, you want, like, if you like a guy, you want to catch his attention. Mm-hmm. You want to be like the, ooh, like, she's, mm-hmm. she's beautiful. But if there's 100 other girls that are showing everything, you're like, okay, like, something's got to give. Mm-hmm. It's a weird time. Mm-hmm. And that makes it connect to social media. You see that?
Yeah, I think it's very nuanced. So when I was 19, I was very supportive of, I was very anti-slut shame, very supportive of the sexual awakening of men and women, women and men.
What do you mean?
So growing up in San Jose and then I ventured off into the army, I got slut shamed by my friends. Right, they're like, oh my god, you joined the army, you're a fuckboy. Right, and I said, whatever. But the way I navigated it is most men slut shame and they want that submissive virgin girl who just dresses modestly, like you say. Most men want that, and when they see a woman dressing a certain way or they seem to sleep around, now that's a lower value woman. That's how most of my male friends saw women. Mm-hmm. I was against that when I was 19. The way I saw it was women should be able to sleep with whoever they want to without being shamed, mm-hmm. because sex feels good and it's none of your business what they're doing so long as nobody's getting hurt. Mm-hmm. And by nobody getting hurt, I mean like the management of expectations and lying to each other, leading each other on, mm-hmm. which is very emotionally traumatizing on both ends, right? Yeah. So long as that's not happening and that there is a mature handling of pregnancy and STDs, I thought at 19 it was okay to sleep around whether you're a guy or a girl. Mm-hmm. I was for that, and I guess looking back at it, I was for it because it meant that I would get laid more if I, which I did, I truly believe that, right? So that's why I guess I supported it. Mm-hmm. Looking back at it now, it's a lot more complicated because the young me supported this sexual awakening and just, you know, anti-slut shame. Slut shaming is terrible. It's very closed-minded. But as I'm getting older, I know the dangers of the deep end. So if I had a daughter, how do I even want to approach that, mm-hmm. you know, situation when she's going through that? Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer. You know, I'm going to have to figure that out.
Because mm-hmm. your daughter, like, just like they said, there's a disconnect. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents don't understand the things that I face because mm-hmm. there's such a generational disconnect, especially mm-hmm. with the younger ones these days. Like, I don't think I could understand what high schoolers are going through now. And I'm going mm-hmm. to try to, but it's people grow up a lot faster now. They're mm-hmm. exposed to a lot more now.
I think it's because I call it it's a inflation of information. There mm-hmm. is an yes. inflation of information. It's both good, like I said, extreme left and right. It's both good and bad. And if it's mm-hmm. too much of one side, it's really good. Too much of one side, it's really bad, right? What I mean by inflation of information is like something as simple as food. Back in the day, it was like, what you want to eat? Oh, well, you know, let's go get Chinese food. Well, we only know one Chinese food place because the only way you found Chinese food places were word of mouth or running into it and trying it. Now you have this thing where you can have 5-star reviews and you want, and I think human nature is you want the best for yourself. So you're going to make the effort to try to find the best deal for yourself, which is the best taste, mm-hmm. right? But it can make things more simple or it can make things more complicated because of this inflation of information Now it's like, what do I want to study in school? Right? Now there's this anxiety of, oh my God, I want to be medical, but I want to also be computer engineering. Mm. And then you go on Google and you research a career in computer engineering. And then now you're just this, you're like 20 tabs deep. And then you research medical, now you're 20 tabs deep.
Yep.
So it, this inflation of information, it's good because you can see where you're, what you're getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. But it also makes it harder to make a decision because human nature wants the best deal for itself because we want mm-hmm. security and safety and to know that the future is a secure thing. So that's why we do, that's why we research what we want to get ourselves into. Mm-hmm. So it's either beneficial because you know what you're getting yourself into, or it just makes things so much more complicated.
Yeah, but you hang out in the complicated part for a while because deciding takes so long.
You get deep into it, yes.
Mm-hmm. And like the information exposure for young people, like it's different because there's like trends that influence that too.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that concept though, like with like the hookups, it's like I'm doing a full circle, but as much as there is this aspect where I cannot ever like stand by anyone that does the whole slut shaming thing because shame can destroy a person terribly. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I think that every single female at least at a young age, if they, you know, had that kind of upbringing, they yearn for that, like motherness, that nurturing, like that ability to nurture something, and to love and to have a family. And usually this cold world is what changes people's mentality. And that cold world could be realizing that love being sex is just something that gets tossed around. Let's say a good girl gave it to someone and he cheated on her. And now she gets him back and just sleeps with so many people. Like at the end of the day, we all kind of want the same thing. Mm-hmm. But this normalized lifestyle that we're experiencing now, being like hook up with whoever you want, it feels good, is going to keep you so far from having what your soul truly yearns for, being a family or being peace, knowing that you get to be with like one person at the end of the night.
Yeah.
That is becoming so foreign. And I think it really only exists within like hyper culture and hyper religious communities now.
I think it's kind of a chicken and egg situation. Like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Who hurt who first? Right? Did the guy hurt the girl first? Did the girl hurt the guy first? It's definitely a cycle. It does happen. I can speak on it personally. I never wanted to live a life of sleeping around. I never wanted that life in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, I had my first girlfriend. I was deeply, deeply devoted to her. And then it didn't work out. She actually left me for another guy. And then we got back together. And then we broke up. And then my second girlfriend, I was deeply devoted to her. And then before I joined the army, that's my third girlfriend, I was deeply devoted to her. And then, you know, she Dear John'd me. And then when I went into the army...
Dear John'd is like a verb for sending a letter to break up?
Yeah, you get a breakup letter. One of my first 2 years in the army, it was more like... looking back at it, it was like I was sleeping around because for whatever reason, I think guys will tell you, so this is for like the girls listening. If a guy tells you that they're not ready for a serious relationship, but they're sleeping with you, they're just telling you that they're not ready for a serious relationship so that they can still sleep with you and it not be a serious relationship. Like, in my opinion, I'm not ready for a serious relationship is bullshit because I used it, like, multiple times. You know, it literally went from, you know, December, I was seeing this girl. January, I met this other girl, started seeing her. Maybe we slept around, right? February, I met this other girl. Maybe we dated, maybe we slept around. And maybe we get to March. And then that's the girl that asks me, how many other girls are you sleeping around with? And I want us to be serious. And that's when I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I'm not ready to be in a serious relationship. Why put a title on it? And then that girl will get hurt, right? And then April comes along and then I meet this girl. And for whatever reason, click, I want to be with that girl. Serious relationship. And it's literally 10 days between the girl I told I wasn't ready for a serious relationship, And then now I want to be in a serious relationship.
What happened within those 10 days?
I don't think anything was different other than how I perceived that girl I wanted to be in a serious relationship
with. Different girl?
Just a different girl. Different girl, different vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, so like you said, the information inflation thing, like you have so many options. Mm-hmm. Like you can be with so many different mm-hmm. people if you actually put yourself out there and learn the game a little bit. Yeah. Learn how to flirt and make yourself yeah. appealing.
It's kind of terrible looking back at it. Like, that's not, looking back at it, I'm not proud of that. I think as I got older and I was still in the single phase, I got more mature. And that's when, before sleeping with a girl, I would tell them, hey, I'm probably not going to get into a serious relationship with you. We don't have to, like, have sex as a part of our friendship. There are other girls I'm talking to and I may be sleeping with. I want you to know this up front if you are going to spend your time and money with me.
You'd be that honest?
Yeah. I think as you get older, it's like Cars 3. You know the Disney movie Cars 3? No. Yeah, there's a line in Cars 3 that sticks with me. My son loves Cars. Truth is just always quicker. Truth is quicker. What's weird is, like, and girls do this, I don't know why, and guys do it too. When I told girls that, it made them pursue me more for some reason. It's like they wanted to change my mind. Because I would tell them, like, look, you are not the only girl I'm talking to that I may or may not be sleeping with. I will probably not get into a serious relationship with you. So I want you to know that up front, I'll hang out with you. And I think I got to that point because I started maturing and realizing the cost and the responsibility of a woman investing herself into her mind, body, soul, without the prospect of marriage and family. Mm-hmm. Knowing when I knew that I wasn't going to have a family with this woman. I think I got more mature in identifying, yeah, Donnie, you will probably hurt this girl. So you should be more upfront with her. Because then I would meet girls who didn't want marriage, that were okay with just like, yeah, thank you for being honest with me. Very few were willing to sleep with me knowing I was sleeping with other women.
Interesting. And like at the end of the day, it's really just like you got to be honest, but your feelings don't lie to you. You feel it with, you feel a connection with someone or you don't. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, like, do you think a girl can, like the girl that you said, I don't want to be with you mm-hmm. and I'm with other people, mm-hmm. but we can still hang out and whatever and do whatever. Do you think that she could actually convince you otherwise? Or do you think like you felt it? There's no connection like that.
I don't think that's a healthy route to take. I don't think anyone who has that route that they want to take and try to convince and change that guy or girl's mind, it's literally simple. They either want to be with you or they don't. They are either ready that day and age for you or they're not. I don't think there is like this, could they convince? I think there are instances where they have successfully convinced, right? But I don't think it's a healthy thing to even entertain. And the thing that comes to mind is 500 Days of Summer. Have you ever watched it?
Yeah.
So that that's a very perfect picture to portray my young self versus my older self. Mm-hmm. Because my younger self was like, oh my God, Summer Finn is a bitch. Right? How could she do that to Joe when Joe was such this lover boy who did everything? But the older guy in me is like, dude, she gave you the warning in the beginning. She said she's not ready. And then the younger guy in me was like, oh my God, like this expectation and reality scene where she invited Joe to her engagement party. What a bitch, right? But the older guy in me is like, dude, that's not healthy. And even Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the actor that plays Joe, he straight up says Joe is not a healthy character. He says, do not be like Joe. Because what guys and girls do is they will put this crush, right? Your crush on a pedestal, and you think that getting into a relationship with this girl, the prospect of that, or even the chase, is a health thing, right? If I can just get this girl who's my best friend and I'll wait through the douchebags that break her heart, if I can just wait and be there for her and eventually she'll date me, right? You put this girl or guy on a pedestal that you think once you achieve this relationship, it'll fix all your issues. It's not. It's not healthy, right? No one person should make your life happy. You mm-hmm. should be happy on your own, right? And fix all your trauma and bullshit you're going through. And you meet somebody, a guy or a girl, who is happy on their own, right? And they fix their trauma and bullshit. And that's like the storybook ending right there. Mm-hmm. But that's not what happens, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's got issues when they meet each other. But that's what I think the word is interdependent means. Because if you're a dependent person, you depend on that person for your happiness. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, if I can just marry the love of my life, if I could just woo my crush, it's going to make me this victorious knight. Right? You're depending on that outcome to make your life happy. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're independent, you just don't care about anybody. You're on the other side of the extreme and you don't care. You're not capable of loving anybody. Right? Now, codependent is a little bit better, but it's not. That's when you're still kind of dependent on the other person. Interdependence is when two healthy people are in a healthy relationship. They could be happy without the other person, but it's even better when they're with somebody. That's like the truest level of a healthy relationship.
Wow. That's actually really interesting. That's like the difference between dating when you're like a young adult mm-hmm. versus like an adult. And I'd mm-hmm. say young as in like late teens, yeah. early 20s, because like high school, it's very codependent. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't live without you. Mm-hmm. Like every day, FaceTime before you go to bed, yeah. FaceTime, like text as soon as you wake up. Yeah. And it's normal. And then all mm-hmm. of a sudden you're an adult. You're like finding this balance yeah. and it's called becoming interdependent mm-hmm. where like when you find someone you connect well with mm-hmm. it's like it's fun when we're together, but when we're not together, like it's fun and I live my life that I can tell you mm-hmm. about until, you know, you get married and live happily ever after yep. or something. What are like good green flags for someone in a relationship, for like two people dating, you know, like that's not too much codependency, not too much independence, like mm-hmm. healthy communication.
Mm-hmm. Green flags for those two people or for the individual?
Both, because healthy dating does not exist in my eyes right now.
Healthy dating? Yeah, I wouldn't want to be dating in 2023.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. Yeah. I try to observe some people and I'm mm-hmm. just like, wrong, that's not good, broken up.
First, before I answer that, what is dating? What does dating mean in 2023 to someone who's dating in 2023?
I have no idea. Well, yeah. I mean, I think like there's being single. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there's a difference, but you have to clarify, like, if you are single and happily yeah. single, where you have to be honest, like, oh yeah, you're fun, but nothing serious.
Yeah.
And then there's single where like you're being more intentional, where a date mm-hmm. is two people sitting down having a conversation. And then I guess dating is when two people decide they like each other. Mm-hmm. But before, like, you know, you two like each other, you've both expressed it. And yeah. this is before, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, I can yeah. call you whenever I want and, like, expect you to answer
that. Yeah. So, to me, dating, to date is to go physically to a location, and it's a verb. We're going on a date. We're going to go to Dave and Buster's on a date, right? That's going on a date. Dating happens when you ask somebody to be a guy or a girl, your guy, your girlfriend or guy friend or boyfriend. That's dating to me.
Okay.
Like, you're officially dating.
Yeah.
There's this expectation, this moral or physical expectation that, you know, you and I are together, and there's this moral expectation that it's not an open relationship. You're not going to go around sleeping with anybody else. You're not going to hurt me. You are devoted to me. That to me is dating. And before, there used to be this talking phase. I don't know if you guys still do the talking phase.
People right? don't date. I really don't know.
So, us old people, right? Back in the day, you would be in the talking phase. You would go on AOL Instant Messenger. You'd be on your little flip phone all night with each other, and hopefully you had unlimited minutes. And then you would ask them out to be your boyfriend or girlfriend, and now you're dating. And then back then, it was like, well, then dating either leads to... Dating should, and you should look at it this way, dating is either going to lead to one or two things, or three things. You're either going to get pregnant together, or you're going to get married either in a church or a court, or you're going to break up. If you think about it, that's what dating is.
Yeah, that's very simple.
It's the stages before the pregnancy, the marriage, or the breakup. Mm-hmm. But what I've seen recently is dating lasts longer. So in my age group, you have people dating 10 years in a relationship for 10 years before they ever even get married or have kids.
Why is that, you think?
I think it's because they're smarter. I think it's smart to wait. And this is coming from somebody who got married really quickly. Because one of the dating green flags that people don't think about, and people don't think about this because they themselves haven't figured it out, is what is your dynamic with that person when you live with them? What is it like living with your boyfriend / girlfriend? What is it like to wake up next to that person, go to sleep with that person, argue with that person that day, and wake up next to them the next day? What is it? What is your financial philosophy? How you spend your money? How do they spend their money? How does it work when it's both your money, right? Your career goals, their career goals. More importantly, child rearing. What are their philosophies in parenting? What are your philosophies in parenting? What's their relationship with their parents? What's your relationship with your parents, right? These are the so-called green flags of dating that no one talks about.
No one talks about it.
No one talks about it. And it's a factor that comes once you're married, once you have kids. Because that is the end game if you think about it.
Yeah.
But I think people are so stuck in the dating phase for 10 years, right? They don't think about the marriage kids phase. That's where in-laws get involved, families and cultures clash, right? These are the things that you should be looking for before the marriage actually happens or the kid.
Man, and it's like, I mean, love is an experience, good, like if you break up or not, but it's, you could save so much time on the third date if you start talking about like, actually, I want to have, you know, two kids one day, or I don't want to have kids, or so what are your parents like? You know, like you should actually know a lot of that, like on the third date, because if you're being honest with yourself, like you can get a feel if marriage is the move or not. Like if you're like, actually ask the right questions, you realize, oh yeah, you'd be a father that I would not want my children to have, and then be like, yeah, this is fun, but like not what I'm looking for.
I think my generation, the born in 1992, so kind of 30 years old, maybe a little bit younger, maybe a little bit older, they are if they're single, they're just terrible, they're depressed, right, lonely. But if they are in a relationship, they have been in a relationship for a while, and they are waiting to be married and or have kids, and I think it's smarter because of that generational gap we talked about, right? What 30-year-old has everything perfectly lined up to introduce a child into the world? And remember what I said about inflation of information and wanting the best deal for themselves. Who is ready for that responsibility financially and morally and physically at the age of 30?
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Like no one.
Right? Who in their 30s are buying homes in the Bay Area?
Oh, none.
Who in their 30s are career fulfilled? They wake up and they love their job.
Very few.
Right? These things are not happening. And I think my generation is smarter to wait. But it puts them in a pressure. Because for women, if you do want to have kids, that fertility window is kind of an important thing. That 35, 36-year-old window. Right? When you're 21, you know, it's not important yet. You can kind of have that freedom to not care about the kids. But then that 36-year-old age hits you, and then it becomes a little more anxious because that window is closing for you.
That's why the message of not sleeping around is really relevant right now, because everyone around my age, whether I know it or not, I think that's what people do. And it's like, your 20s will set you up for your 30s. How you do your days now is going to reflect what your 30s are going to look like. And guys can get away with a lot more because their fertility is, well, actually men's fertility is not the best these days because most men aren't that healthy. But they can get someone pregnant at like 40, 50, 60. Women, we have a very short window. Like anything past 35 is risk. Even 30 to 35 is like, you know, risk. You could have like weird random complications.
Yeah.
20s are your prime. And that's insane because everyone's like, live your 20s, enjoy your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, shoot, well, that's true. But like, we also want to live more intentionally because like at the end of the day, that is a woman's call. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that really have like the prize. We're the ones that can carry the baby. A guy can, he doesn't get to keep it. It's up to her.
So the picture perfect world, in my opinion, would be, this is just my perspective, guy or girl, they graduate high school, but before they graduate high school, they know exactly what they're passionate about, right? Because when you're passionate about it and you're making money from it, your life is good, right? You are waking up and you're going to work and you're passionate about that thing, right? And you're getting paid to do it. That's step one.
Know what you're passionate about.
Know what you're passionate about. Know what you want to pursue. Mm-hmm. Get a career in that, right? Step two is like, get it out of your system. What is out of your system? Well, you want to do all the crazy drugs. You want to do all these crazy things. You want to travel, see these locations. Do it in your 20s to 25, right? If you always want to travel around the world.
20 to 25.
20 to 25, right? Because traveling is cool, but like I said about interdependency, right? Traveling with kids is just as cool.
Really?
Yeah, like I love Disneyland. Like I love Disneyland, but going the Cars line with my son is a million times better than when I went to Disneyland by myself or with my middle school friends. So it's like, yeah, traveling is cool. Traveling with your best friend who is your wife or husband and your mini-me's, that's like even better. I'm not saying it's better than this. I'm saying it's traveling on your own or with a boyfriend or girlfriend or single is awesome. Traveling with kids can be even more awesome or just as awesome.
That's really cool.
So like step one, career, and you get paid to do it. Get it out of your system. Be financially, get it to a point where you are financially set up that you can go to sleep at night knowing that you have enough saved in the bank to support yourself in emergencies. Get to that financial point, right?
And that's usually like 3 months worth of living.
3 to 6 months. It depends on how much you want to sleep at night. How good you want to sleep at night is a savings egg, is per month of living costs, right? Let's say your living cost is, let's say, $3,000. You spend $3,000 a month to be alive for a month. Well, $3,000, if you have it in savings, that's 1 month of living in case you get laid off, right? Times 6 is half a year. Now you have half a year to find a job. Times 12 is now you have a whole year. You know, if you got laid off, you have a year's worth of living cost to find a job. So it all depends on how good you want to sleep at night. That's step three. You have that, right? Career and get paid to do it. Travel, get it out of your system, do all the crazy things. Financially set. Something we don't talk about, and you said we should. It doesn't come into play until it's coming into play, but how does your trauma history and your childhood history affect how you interact as an adult? Because that is also part of dating. People want to talk about, she had red flags, they had red flags. What they don't talk about is, these are my red flags.
How do you find those red flags?
Being self-aware. Being self-aware and being emotionally intelligent. Knowing, and it's, you kind of just have to learn the hard way. You know, dating that person and that person was this way and it made you feel this way. And then you break up, dating that person and then they made you feel this way because they did this thing. And then you get deeper into the rabbit hole. You go to therapy, you read, you know, psychology books, and you understand, you start learning and you're becoming more self-aware. Oh, I'm this way because when I was a kid, this need was not fulfilled, right? And then 20 years later, how do you learn how to fulfill that need in a healthy manner? Because what can happen is when you as a kid, your needs aren't fulfilled, you'll pursue that need in the adulthood in an extreme form. I talked about addiction. So if you can accomplish all that around the 25 to 30 window, regardless of what age you are, I think that's a good picture right there.
Dang. It's so simple. You know, you want to find formulas, but it really is that simple.
Could be.
I mean, it's not going to be that simple, but like at least that's the foundation, mm-hmm. like the bare minimum. Now you got yourself set.
Yeah.
And then you get to join, and that's going to be a whole experience, but that's the fun roller coaster.
And before anything is said about like, well, you know, I have this friend who's 50 and 60 and they're single and they're living their best life. Yeah, they are. I have an uncle who's living his best life. He's in his 60s. He retired from the Navy. And he's using the GI Bill to just live in Europe. Mm-hmm. No spouse, no kids. And he's like content.
What percentage do you think that is of majority of people that can be content single?
I think it's 50-50 because I also had a friend who's close to 50 and he said the same thing until COVID happened. He said like, you know, I just can't see myself in a relationship. And then COVID happened and he got double pneumonia, right? And he told me like, yo, if I were to die, there would have been nobody.
Dang.
No kids. No wife to take care of me. I had nobody to take care of me. Right? But you don't learn that until you're there, until you are 50 and your deathbed is empty. You could have had kids there. You could have had grandkids there. Mm-hmm. And I forgot who said it, but they do bring a good point. They're talking about their grandma, right? Their grandma had this party and it was like 70 people and nobody talked about how their grandma was this awesome influencer. Nobody talked about how their grandma traveled all these countries and took all these Instagram photos and had all these followers. No, they were just these kids' grandma who had kids, and these like 700 some people were there to celebrate that one woman. Mm-hmm. Because this generation, numerous generations, these 100 people were there to celebrate that one woman. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you're a single person and you get to that age at 70, it'll be too late to change your mind if you do want that other life.
Dang. And you can't go back.
Can't go back in time.
I don't think, I've never heard of someone regretting having a child.
There, if you look into it, there are like a nurse wrote on the 5 most common life regrets of people on their deathbed.
And it's what?
I think that's a good place to start. I can't recall, but one of them is like living a life to please other people.
And not having children?
There might have been. I'd have to look it up.
I have to find that because that's really interesting.
The 5 most common people or regrets of people on their deathbed.
That's what it comes down to. You want to be sick laying on mm-hmm. your bed, and like those thoughts that surround your mm-hmm. mind is everything that we should be about now.
Yeah.
Did you have people there that loved you?
Yeah.
Do you have like awesome stories of people that you shared moments with mm-hmm. that they can share at your funeral? Did you experience what you wanted to experience, chase after your dreams? Like, you want to make sure that once you're laying down, taking your last breath, that you're like, all right, let's go. I'm ready to go.
There are some people that are content with that. Like, if you're listening to this and you can just close your eyes and imagine your funeral. If your funeral is empty and you're fine with that, that's a good. Then if you're completely fine with that mm-hmm. your funeral is empty, hey, just, you know, cremate me, scatter me in the ocean or whatever. I don't want a big funeral. I don't want people to come. If you're completely satisfied with that, then live your life that way. But if you can close your eyes and if you can imagine a funeral and you want to be celebrated, if you want loved ones, you want people to talk about you in the past tense, that you were a good man or woman and that you were the life, you have to live your life that way. And if your life is not heading that way, make it that way. It's that simple. Start today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. That's what it comes down to. You can change anything in a moment.
Yes, because I think about that. Like, I want to be remembered as a good man. Mm-hmm. And so when I do things that are not a good man thing to do, I just don't do that thing.
Mm-hmm. And all it takes is that self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Really just think about it, because anyone's life can change so quickly with like, you know what, I'm done. Like, I've decided that I'm not going to be like take this path of my life anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to be so loving. I want to be so whatever it is you want to be, and you can become it. It's just like as simple as a decision. Well, we're about at that time. Did you have any...
That flew by.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I knew it flew by with you.
Because... We never talked about, maybe it's a future episode. We never talked about the generational gap and the pressure on high school kids to figure it out and what does success look like and how hard is it to find that success.
You just sneak peeked an episode that I don't know when would be. So let's go into that now. Yeah. We're not sneak peeking that. We're going into that now.
Oh, now?
Yeah, because like you're going to go back to Texas.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to go to Poland.
Yeah.
So I don't know when I'm going to see you again.
So we're going to go over?
No, we're doing it right now.
Okay.
Let's talk about the high schoolers first.
Okay.
I'm very disconnected with high schoolers right now. I just know they're not okay.
Yeah.
They are struggling deeply. Yeah. And like I don't know how to be connected with them right now because that's just not where my focus is. Mm-hmm. I can think of two that are doing like decently well.
Yeah.
And that's because of their sport. Mm-hmm. But yeah, through your observation, what do you think is the problem with like the mental health of high schoolers right now?
Okay. And I'm going to try to make this quick. If you are a high schooler and or you have recently graduated high school, there's two types of people in high school. There are the ones who know and there are the ones who don't know. There are the ones who know that they want to be a nurse. Well, you can't really become a nurse unless you go to college. There are the ones who know that they want to play sports. You go play sports. There are the ones who know that they want to be a doctor. They want to be in biochem. They want to pursue whatever avenue that requires college. Mm-hmm. Those kids who know that deep in their hearts, that's what they want to do. Boom, go to college, right? What about the kids who don't know, who are not 100%, who don't know that they're 100% they want to be something that requires college? Mm-hmm. We don't do a good job of talking about those kids. So if you are that kid and you don't know, if you in your heart of hearts do not know if college is for you because you don't know if you want to pursue a career that requires college, do not be pressured into thinking that college is the pinnacle of pathways. Mm-hmm. Because 100%, it's not. Mm-hmm. It is not the number one thing that you are going to want to do. It is a thing to do. If you got nothing going on, there's Gavilan College, right? Go take some community classes and see how you like it. If you don't know, go to Gavilan College, right? Mm-hmm. Or even another community college in San Jose and see how college is like. See if you like it and see what intrigues you, what interests you. But just know that just because you don't want to go to college, it doesn't mean you suck. Mm-hmm. Just because you don't know if you want to go to college or not, doesn't mean you're a failure. Doesn't mean your cousin is better than you. Doesn't mean your mom's cousins, friends who went to, you know, Harvard or some college in Texas or in Boston, whatever. Doesn't mean they're better than you and they got it all figured out. Everyone acts like they got it figured out, you know, but they don't. I'm 30. I don't have it figured out. Right? I have stumbled so many times mm-hmm. on the way to 30. If you're 18, 16, 17, 18, a little bit into the college age, you don't have to have it all figured out. Okay? There is time. There is time to live your life. There is time to figure it out. And what you should do if you don't know is get to the point where you do. How do you do that? Well, explore your options, right? Trade school, military, see what other people are pursuing, right? There are other unconventional things, right? People are getting careers out of Twitch, gaming, social media influencers, right? Mm-hmm. There are other ways to become what is successful. Because our parents and my age, success was go to college, buy a house, married, kids, grow old. And it was that easy. And it may have been that easy back then, but the generation, our generation, have it way harder. Mm-hmm. Now, let me say something. When our parents were kids, sure, life was tough, right? They'll always say that. Yeah, you know, back in my day, life was tough. You guys have it so easy. Yeah, their childhood was tougher, but their adulthood was not tougher. Their adulthood was way easier, right? At some point into the 2000s, housing prices went up, education went up, mm-hmm. but the earning wage stayed a little bit the same, increased a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Now I think it's I think the living wage for the Bay Area is 300,000. You have to earn at least 300K to support a small family.
How much is that a month?
A lot of money. I can't do the math, but even like making 100,000 as a salary, mm-hmm, is a lot to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But that is the living wage to support a small family in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
That was not the living wage when our parents were graduating high school. Ask anybody's parents. Everybody's parents, mom and dad, uncles, bought houses in their 20s.
Yeah.
So, of course, it was easier to get married, have kids, have a career in their 20s. Back then, we're not back then. We're in 2023, mm-hmm, and we're in the Bay Area. So understand that you do have it harder, right? The pathway to success and that happy life is a lot harder for us. Mm-hmm. So understand that. That's the card you've been dealt with. Do not be pressured into thinking that you have to go to the premier schools for somebody else to make your mom or dad proud. Or, oh, I have to get into this UC because it'll make me this better person, mm-hmm, right? Find your passion. Silence the noise. Turn your phone off for an hour. Sit in a dark room. And think about what brings you joy. What can you do and get into a flow state? And flow state is when you do it and time just flies. Mm-hmm. You don't even think about that action. You're just doing. And that doing is becoming part of your being. Your doing and being is one because you love that thing, mm-hmm, that you're doing, whether it's jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, gaming, makeup, whatever it is. Whatever it is you're, mm-hmm, doing, find what you're passionate about and see if you can pursue it as a career. Mm-hmm. And then research how you can make that happen, right? Because if you're in your 18s, 19s, 20s, you still have time to fail. You still have time to learn the hard way, mm-hmm, right? At the end of the day, look at it this way. If you fail and you think people are going to judge you, at the end of the day, those people are not going to pay your bills.
Yep.
So who cares if you tried and failed, right? I respect more the person in the arena who lost than the person watching in the arena, mm-hmm, right? So if you got down in that arena and you tried and you lost, that's more respectable than the person watching in the arena saying, ha, 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 that guy lost, that girl lost, right? Fuck those people. Because, mm-hmm, they're probably just as, you know, lost, if not more lost.
Yeah.
At least, so the person you think is laughing at you or judging you because you failed in this one venture, you're already this far ahead of them. Because they're over there laughing, you're already trying and failing and learning.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
So I would say the high schoolers who are this pressure of just, I need to figure everything out. Find a mentor. Find somebody you look up to and talk to them.
How could one find a mentor? Because of that disconnect, it's different.
That's true. Somebody in school, somebody, a family member. Anybody.
Yeah. Jiu-jitsu coaches.
Jiu-jitsu coaches.
Sports coaches.
Sports coaches.
Church communities.
Church. Pastors. People are in your church.
Friends, older sibling.
People who run podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even just like, if there is somebody's Instagram you follow and you like their content and you like their life, now it's easy to portray a good life on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely.
That's something we have to get in a future episode.
Yeah. Dang it.
Yeah. So, and then just message them like, hey, you know, my life sucks. And it seems like your life doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody messaged me, hey, my life sucks and it seems like your life doesn't, I'll tell them, yeah, your life probably sucks more than mine, but my life sucks as well. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you how I got to where my life didn't suck. Mm-hmm. Find somebody you can have that kind of conversation with and someone you can look up to and have like what we lack in the society is real conversations. People, mm-hmm, will just be straight up and genuine with you.
Yeah.
And just get lost into these hours of conversations. Like we don't even force it. Right. Mm-hmm. Find somebody older, maybe 5 to 10 years removed.
Yeah.
And don't just ask them what made them successful. Ask them how they failed.
Mm-hmm. even like older people, because you feel mm-hmm. like you have to keep these secrets and just mm-hmm. be like, oh, like they don't know what it's like, or I can't yeah. tell them what I've been through. But really, they're like, disregard their old look. They've yeah. been through life.
Yeah.
And if they maybe haven't, they've observed enough. Yeah. You can literally confide in someone that's 70 years old yeah. and get some beautiful advice.
Yeah. Man, there's so many things we could have talked about mm-hmm. that just come to mind. Like, I didn't get to talk about the dangers of sexual addiction
mm-hmm.
and how that can be extremely destructive and the science behind that. But I digress. Trying to help the high schoolers. It's okay. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You're not a bum. You're not a failure. You don't yeah. have to go to that school if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. You don't have to work in that field all your life if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. You have options, but sleeping in your bed or couch and scrolling your phone on the shitter is going to keep you where you're at.
Yeah.
You have to take that step forward.
Yeah. There's so many avenues, like with your phone. Mm-hmm. If you go viral on TikTok, you can make money.
Mm-hmm.
If I get 1,000 subscribers, I can get money.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that till I did some research. I don't know the Discord world, but like mm-hmm. doing that, you can make money.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even to simplify it even more, to make a living these days as a young adult, like a single young adult, mm-hmm. like let's say you rent a room for 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That means to survive, you only need 2,000. If you're really, really frugal,
yeah.
that means you can get a full, like a full-time job
yep.
at Taco Bell and make $500 a mm-hmm. week. And if you do that, you have $2,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And that is, you can live without your parents. You don't need to go to college. You can get creative and figure mm-hmm. it out until you find your path. Not everyone's parents will mm-hmm. pay for college. And that's a really challenging, like, process to mm-hmm. not have that help from your parents. But it's like, man, 4,000 is the goal. What's 4,000? Yeah. That's 1,000 a week. How can you make $1,000 a week? You know, mm-hmm. you can do 2 full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Or 1 full-time job and 1 part-time, or babysitting. There's just so many mm-hmm. avenues. You'll be okay. The college career is not the only path.
Yeah.
We can go into so many things. How long are you going to be here for?
I fly back Saturday.
Should we do a second episode?
Again, I might be free Friday.
That's
tomorrow. That is tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. All right. Well, let's close it off here. How can people reach you? How can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram. CombatWombat4.
How do you spell that?
Combat CombatWombat. Wombat WOMBAT 4 FOUR.
Okay. And then I usually like to give this an option, mm-hmm. but if people wanted to reach out to you for even like you were a recruiter, mm-hmm. just questions about the military, mm-hmm. questions about life, can people reach you there?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So feel free, guys, to reach out if you have any questions, even just about life or things that you found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out. This is all to promote like real conversations to help people mm-hmm. listening, real people to go through this crazy thing called life. So thank you guys for listening. Stay elevating, stay growing. Have a beautiful, lovely day, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right, bye-bye.